Thank you very much, Peter. A pleasure to be here. And Sol and I do this double act. I go first and then he can criticise me afterwards. And it is a pleasure to be here. And what I thought I'd do is do a quick resume of the fiscal and economic position the state's in, and then further elaborate on where we go in the future. And I'm going to refer to some slides, and so basically I'm not going to gild the lily here. We will tell it as it is in terms of how we are going in the fiscal performance and the economic performance. The general government sector net debt, obviously when we first got into government in 1998, the net debt position was $1.6 billion. We're now debt-free, 3 years ahead of schedule, and the consolidated fund is in surplus since 1999-2000. We've had four credit rating upgrades, including the latest one from Moody's, which is AAA, and that was announced in December. And it's the first time that we've been acknowledged as having the same credit rating as the other states. Standard & Poor's is still have us one level below that, but it is an interesting science that the credit ratings engage in, and it is, in terms of my interest, a constituency which I have to keep a very close eye on, because it does affect not only in practical terms but also in terms of the mood. The state and territory net debt comparison, again, Tasmania's net debt position is already amongst the best. And we will be moving to second strongest by 2010, only behind Queensland. And it's a position that I think needs to be acknowledged in terms of our managing of our finances. And that apart from the Northern Territory and Tasmania, all the other states are going backwards in that area. The budget deficit and fiscal balance, look, there are enough people here who know about this for me not to dwell here, but it is an important balance, and again, along with the operating balance, the two key balances out of the four balances that I have to take notice of in terms of formulating a fiscal strategy and putting together a budget. The fiscal balance, as this slide indicates, eight fiscal surpluses to 2006. Estimated deficit moves back into a surplus by 2009-10. And we have a very strong fiscal track record. And it is always acknowledged by the credit ratings that if we do put a fiscal strategy in place, we do adhere to it. And we are not in a position to compromise that strategy. And that that has been acknowledged. Average fiscal deficit over the next 4 years is 0.25% of GSP. It's the smallest in Australia, apart from Western Australia, and again, it's an important position for us to be. Our competitive tax environment, again, we have been aggressive in implementation of tax reform, despite what some people say, particularly when they raise the issue of payroll tax and land tax. We were the second highest taxing state in the mid-1990s. We're now the second lowest. The taxation burden per capita is the lowest in the nation. And we've delivered over $1 billion in tax cuts, over half unrelated to the GST and the intergovernment agreement that we signed with the Commonwealth at the introduction of the GST. And again, fiscal record is we're the only state to achieve these outcomes without increasing our taxes or introducing new taxes. We're the only state. And that, I think that that's a very important thing to acknowledge here in terms of creating the environment for investment. A stable tax environment, I think, is one of the hallmarks of creating the atmosphere and the capacity for people to invest in this state. Now, the new fiscal strategy that we introduced at the last state budget following them for the election, fundamentally the principles are unchanged. The consolidated fund will remain in surplus. General government sector will remain net debt free. And again, no new taxes are increasing the rate of existing taxes. And the average tax severity to be maintained below the average of all states. I have to say that last part of the fiscal strategy sometimes is an exposure at one level that Other states can alter their tax regimes, which can have an impact upon ours. So far, if you look at the election cycle, we can maintain our relative position in terms of the other states. It's just when the elections emerge that people start making concessions in terms of their own taxes. On the economic front, the economic growth, 5 years of strong real GSP growth, well above the 1990s average of 1.7%. We have grown in relation to the national increase of 3.1 GSP growth in 2005-06. And it's the third time in 5 years that GSP growth has exceeded the Australian rate. Again, I think it needs to be acknowledged in terms of our economic performance. The state and territory GSP comparison, again, over the past 5 years, Tasmania is the third fastest growing state or territory, average annual rate of 3.7 versus 3.3 nationally. I'm sorry if I'm rushing through this, but I'm conscious of the time. And only behind the resource states of WA and Queensland, and we know what's driving their economies, and it is, I think, a huge achievement for Tasmania to be rated just behind, well, not just, but behind Western Australia and Queensland. The state final demand eased. As I said, I'm not going to gild the lily here. The Tasmanian growth has eased recently, but we have to acknowledge, if you look at that slide, we're coming off record highs, interest rates, fuel prices, drought, and also frost in Tasmania has had an impact in the rural sector. And that in terms of cherries alone, I think the lost production there was about $60 million, which is a sizeable impact upon their production rate. Treasury forecasting 2.75% growth for the remainder. There will be some discussion about this further. Saul has an opinion, I know, that it's probably optimistic. But state final demand growth figures do not include exports, and that I think that needs to be acknowledged in seeing the state final demand figures. Export figures are at record levels. Again, $3.4 billion in the year to January 2007. Growth of 26%, exceptional growth. Half of Tasmania's output is exported interstate or overseas. And the value of exports almost doubled over the past decade. Now, it's very interesting in terms of this figure because it excludes the interstate exports which going via Melbourne, generally, to other parts of the world. And that, I was at an investment seminar with the Chinese, and I quoted something like $370 million worth of exports from Tasmania. Well, they came back and said, well, it's over $600 million. And that to me, was they're counting it as it comes physically into their country. And we had obviously missed, and it's something that I am addressing so we can get a better fix on this. We are an island state. We have got the ports. We can identify it. And I think we can better measure the rate of exports if we find the capability and the resources to do it. Employment's still strong. Full-time jobs, highest level in 17 years. There has been a slight decrease in the number of part-time jobs, but 30,000 jobs have been created since 1998. And since April 2002, overall employment has risen by 12.8%. And again, only Queensland and WA have had faster growth. And consumers are still spending. And it's the highest level on record. Recent retail trade shows a modest slowdown, but again, still around record highs. And that I won't refer to the DFO directly, but it is something that, you know, in terms of our retail spending, we have the capacity to keep building our retail sector and allow the competitive forces to take effect. It is something which I find very interesting that that existing business wants to not be open to competition. In terms of retail, just as an aside, we only have 30% of the national labels in Tasmania. That is 70% of what other Australians are allowed to purchase or have a choice to purchase is not, it doesn't exist in Tasmania. So we still have a chance in terms of consumer spending. Again, residential building approvals record, value of residential building approvals is still at record high. And you can see here Tasmania, the gap between Tasmania and the national figure is quite substantial. Solid engineering construction work done. Again, the Tasmanian performance is good. This gives me some room for optimism in terms of this work being construction work does allow for productivity gains in the future. It's an investment in activity which should presume some help in terms of infrastructure, that is the telecoms, water, sewerage, roads, electricity and so on, which can lead to, and I will talk about that briefly towards the end. Business investment has fallen recently, and again, this is not something that which I particularly like, but the fact is we do still have over $2 billion in investment in the pipeline, and we have we are coming off record highs. Business investment indicators are that business investment as a share of GSP has grown strongly. Business confidence is second highest in Australia, and that's from the census survey in February. 1.5% growth in the number of businesses in 2006-07. And interestingly enough, the business survival rate is the highest in Australia. And again, I think it's a good indicator of what is actually going on the ground. And population is still growing. It's true it has dropped off somewhat. But when you look at that slide, the fact is that it is, I think, the parallel between growing an economy and growing the population is very clear, and that's why I'm so keen to keep on assisting to grow the economy and do what I can. Which leads me to my barbecue stopper in terms of the government's future agenda, and that's water and sewerage. If we get the infrastructure right in Tasmania, we have the capacity here to lead the nation in terms of our infrastructure. Water and sewerage is a significant part of our infrastructure. We know already that there is probably $400 to $500 million worth of infrastructure to still be put into water and sewerage. How we do that and how we develop it, Christine's here from Hubbard Water, others are here too. But to me, if we get this right, we have a chance to, I don't want to overstate the case, but if you look around the rest of Australia and how they're dealing with the water issue and talking about recycling and the other aspects which are going to absorb, create carbon, we've got 12% of the water in for the nation's water here. We've got 3% of the land mass. Water is not an issue here in terms of its actual collection. It is its distribution and the way we retail it, which is needs to be, I think, refined. And it does have the capacity to further link in with what we do with irrigation and how we make the state more productive. To me, this is not just an issue for today. This is about 50 years, 100 years' time. In terms of a comparative advantage, we have it. We also have the advantage of Malcolm Turnbull taking a very keen interest in water and the federal government having millions of dollars available if we create the right circumstances so they can invest, so the national government can invest in water here in Tasmania. So to me, it is a very important issue. I don't think there is a more important issue because it will create the avenue to have sustainable communities and allow our economy to grow by providing the right infrastructure. Similarly with broadband, we are seeking a partner through. We've invested over $30 million in optic fibre. I want to see a way of developing commercial contestability. Obviously, Telstra are here. I want them to stay, but I do want to see a partner. it's not the role of government to run our optic fibre and broadband, but it is our role to set it up so it does become a very important part of our infrastructure and, again, add that capacity to build the economy. Now, the telco industry, in terms of data storage, security, we have a very good environment for data storage and transfer. We have relatively cheap land, and we have a stable and reasonably well-trained workforce to deal with this issue, and I see it as part of our expanding our economy. So I just think that we need to keep an eye on how we develop water, sewage, optic fibre, broadband, create the environment, and we can start building, and you can see the opportunities for investment and creating new parts of our economy, which are going to be based on our cleverness and our ability to not acknowledge that we have traditional businesses in Tasmania, but create the opportunity to build another sector into the economy. Another part that I announced in the last budget was the Demographic Change Advisory Council. This is a very important council, and I don't want to brush over it in too simple terms, but we are addressing the main issues here. You know, in terms of health, education, training, productivity, we have an ageing population. We, as a microcosm of Australia, have, I think, a very good ability to work further research what is going on in terms of demographic change and try and find some innovations in terms of how we respond. What is the challenge here? What is the opportunities? And that we'll be releasing a paper shortly to encourage further discussion about how we deal with the issues. It's not just a challenge for the government, it's a challenge for the whole community and the institutions here. And so I think that we do have some opportunities here, but we also have some challenges. In terms of demographic change, you know, we've got issues such as health, and I'll mention the hospital in passing here, the fact that we're building a hospital, but if we don't do something about acute care and plan it properly, Tasmania, like every other state, on the same policy basis, within about 2020, all our budgets will be spent on health. And we need to deal with that. And it's not just about the ageing population. It's to do with the expense of putting equipment in hospitals and the other ancillary things that go with it. And that's why the challenge in terms of the hospital is so important to us, and that we need to take very clear decisions. And I just raise here that the element of parochialism, and I want to publicly congratulate the Liberal Party on their response to the acute care plan that's been put out, the draft, because for the first time they stated their position for as long as I've been in politics, it is the first time as an opposition that includes Labor and Liberal, haven't tried to put a wedge in. And that I can see there are some people around this audience who would be identify with that issue, and I think it's a very significant, it's an opportunity for the government not to weaken in the light of parochial interests, but to drive through on a clear, rational, sensible way of delivering acute care to the state. Energy, I'd just like to remind people about where we were in terms of energy before we came into government. We did develop an integrated energy plan. It is still being developed in terms of Alinta now is going to be a private producer with gas. There are a number of players. There's competition in the market, and it's I think we have. There's a lot of criticism about Basslink and so on, but we have, in terms of withstanding the drought, we are in a very good position to make sure that we are a productive state and using energy in a proper way. So I think that there are other opportunities. Roaring 40s, it's a booming business, and it's something that I think we need to look at and make sure that we don't lose the opportunity as a player in producing wind energy that I think is going to, again, the expertise we're building up in Tasmania in relation to to wind energy shouldn't be lost. I just want to touch on the budgeting and financial management reforms. The government's had an exceptional record in terms of working through the financial management reforms. Accountants are ruling the world. It used to be lawyers, but accountants are now doing it. And it's enough of them in the room not to have heard me say that before. But we do have a record of reform, accrual budgeting, superannuation, risk management. Those types of areas we have dealt with. We have our fiscal strategies have been put in place and we've adhered to them, and that has created a stable environment. The same with the third fiscal strategy. We're pushing through with that. And that we did announce at last year's State of the State address reforms into the financial management, the audit. We are, I think, going to be leading the country in terms of our financial management and reforms. And I am conscious of the criticism that's been levelled in terms of the presentation of the public account at various times. So that, I'm on the case to try and make sure we can improve that as well. And just by the way, today we introduced to Parliament the Charter of Budget Responsibility Bill. In essence, it allows for the establishment of principles of sound fiscal management, a requirement for the government and opposition parties to develop fiscal strategy statements, and a preparation of pre-election fiscal outlook report by the Secretary of the Department of Treasury and Finance, and a process for election commitments made by the government and opposition parties being independently costed by the Department of Treasury and Finance. The significant thing about this is that in the past there has been some argy-bargy about the cost of election commitments. That's fair enough, but I think that argument ought to be based on a fiscal strategy, that it's incumbent upon the government of the day to have a fiscal strategy. I think if we're going to have a serious discussion in part of our democratic process and the way we go about our business, that we understand it's okay, there can be challenges to fiscal strategies and there can be alternative ones, but let them be put up and let the commitments be made against that fiscal strategy, so those, when we go into the polls, understand all the issues that are involved. I just want to touch on, the COAG National Reform Agenda. Again, we have been a very keen government in terms of implementing COAG reforms. They have been good for the state, and that we are still working on the labour, health and training, competition and regulatory reform agenda. There has been some work also done in terms of harmonisation, in terms of tax collections. The Victorians and New South Wales governments have already unilaterally had an arrangement about harmonising their taxation regimes, not in terms of the levels, but in terms of the process of collection. I can't see why Tasmania shouldn't be part of that if we can't get a national agenda going pretty quickly. So thank you very much. I hope I've touched on issues which give an indication and flavour of what we're on about here, and I look forward to being on the panel later on. Thank you very much.